Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's go.
A shortened edition of the program today after we heard from Coach Schertz for the last hour or so over at Humphreys. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of reasons to be excited about SLU Billikens basketball and the future of the program and the trajectory of the program and the things that are being talked about. And, you know, talking about things are one thing, doing them is another. Coach Schertz obviously comes in with a pretty solid track record, and you look at what his team did at Indiana State this past year. I got the chance to talk with him at Busch Stadium the other day when he was there to throw out a first pitch, and just a lot of reasons to be excited, A, about the kind of talent and the kind of teams he can put together, but I think also about his style of play. That's the show, right? Like during the winter months in St. Louis, you go over to Chaffetz Arena, and that's the place to be for SLU Billikens basketball. At least it's supposed to be the place to be for SLU Billikens basketball. And the style of play and the environment and the feeling inside of that building goes a long way with it. And there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of time before they're going to throw it up for next season. But a lot of reasons to be excited. And as we're right in the middle of portal season, we're getting announcements about his coaching staff almost on a not just on a daily basis, sometimes seemingly on an hourly basis as he continues to put his staff together. And we'll start getting some announcements about some players here before you know it. And a lot of reasons to be very, very, very excited about that team. So I've got you till 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to join us at all, you can do so by calling, texting, and or tweeting. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. If you want to tweet at me, you find me at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. I wanted to open up by kind of talking about the Cardinals roster crunch, because we found out earlier today that Lars Nootbaar is being activated and he is going to be with the team as they open up a series in Arizona tomorrow against the defending National League champion Diamondbacks. That still sounds kind of funny to say, but it is what it is. We knew that was coming, right? Like, barring him telling Oliver Marmol, hey, my timing is just not there yet at the plate, I need some more time on this rehab assignment, barring that conversation happening, he was going to be active for this series. So that news isn't new. It's newsworthy in the sense that it adds to the team, a team that's struggling to score runs right now. It adds a good piece into the lineup. What I think is the bigger news, and I think where you really start to see a roster and a lineup conundrum, is the fact that they sent down Pedro Páez. So now you're in a spot now where it's going to be challenging to put all of your hitters that are performing at the highest level at the moment into the lineup on any given day. Because obviously, Ivan Herrera has arguably been the hitting, the offensive MVP for the Cardinals here in the early going of the season. I don't know how you sit him down when he's the guy who's really turned into a middle-of-the-order bat. Now, he's a young guy. At some point, the league will catch up to him. He's going to have to catch up to the league. You do that dance with young players all the time. But as long as when the going's good, you keep going, right? So keeping Herrera in the lineup seems to be something that the Cardinals are likely to do, arguably should do. Wilson Contreras is obviously one of the top hitters on the team as well. Both those guys play catcher. So when they were in the lineup together, one's the DH and one is catching. There's no real like positional flexibility there at the moment. I guess if you had to throw somebody at first base, maybe you could, but that doesn't really even solve the problem that we're talking about right now. Basically, one guy's got to be catching, one guy's got to be the DH, or they're not both in the lineup at the same time. So that's fine when you have a third catcher on the roster. When you don't have a third catcher on the roster, it's a little bit of a gamble, but you know what? It's not an end-of-the-world gamble. Worst case scenario is your catcher gets injured. You have to take the catcher who's DHing, move him to catcher. You absolve the DH, and the pitcher is going to be hitting for the rest of that game. It's not a great situation. No manager is going to go into that situation and say, yeah, this is great. Let's have the pitcher hit all the time. But if that scenario happens and you have to play a handful of innings of a game where you don't have a DH and the pitcher is hitting, again, not the end of the world, and next day they can have Pedro Páez back. So you like to have a third catcher on the roster just in case that situation pops up. But if you look at it from a worst-case scenario, if you have to go a few innings without a DH, not gonna be the end of the world. Here's the bigger issue here, and what I'm very curious to see how things end up playing out. Because obviously the Cardinals are struggling right now from an offensive standpoint, and a lot of key players and key positions are struggling. And when you think about the players who are really not struggling, Herrera is one of them. I would argue that Brendan Donovan is another guy who's gotten off to a nice start this season. He's somebody that you probably want to have in the lineup on just about an everyday basis. You know, Mason Wynn's another guy who's gotten off to an okay start. But there's just a handful of guys who have had nice starts to their season from an offensive standpoint. This group overall is struggling at the plate. Their team batting average right now is .219. So you want to have the guys in there who give you the best chance to go score runs. And this is where the rub is, because you got two guys who can play center field on the roster in Victor Scott and Michael Ciani. Neither of these guys are tearing it up from an offensive standpoint. And we don't have to have the whole Victor Scott conversation again that we had yesterday. Obviously, let's remove yesterday's game from the equation even. A young player who has a bad day, you chalk it up as that, a young player having a bad day. Guys have bad days. I always say I don't like judging people on their best moments, and I don't like judging people on their worst moments. So let's not even consider yesterday when it comes to Victor Scott. When you take the overall body of work for him outside of yesterday, the profile is a guy who is electric on the bases and makes every play and more in center field, but just can't hit. And then the profile for Michael Ciani is a guy who's going to go make every play out in center field and doesn't really hit, but might be hitting a little bit more than Scott. So you're not getting any offense from either of those guys. But unless you make the decision to put somebody else in center field, you're stuck with one of those guys in center field on an everyday basis. And I know there's already people out there that say, well, what about Lars Nootbaar? Why don't you put him in center field? I would not be against the idea of him getting a game or two in center field just because the team is at a point now where that could really help with the roster crunch. It could get you to a point where a Victor Scott or a Michael Ciani could be taken off of the roster and sent down to AAA, because you need two guys on the roster who can play center field. And right now those two guys are Scott and Ciani, and nobody else is going to play. So if the club makes the decision that Nootbaar can play in center field in a crunch, that he can make a start there a week or a couple starts there a week, and they can also kind of stomach the lack of offensive production out of center field, whether it's Scott or Ciani, and you go in that direction, that fixes a lot of problems. Because right now, there's really not an easy way to have Wilson Contreras, Ivan Herrera, and Brendan Donovan in the lineup every day. one of those guys is going to be DHing if it's one of those two. You know, if you've got Contreras and Herrera in the lineup together, one of them is going to have to DH. Newt Barr's back. He's going to be out in left field. That's where Brendan Donovan has played a fair amount right now. Center field is taken by Ciani and or Scott. Walker's going to be out in right field. Gorman is at second. Arenado's at third. Now, yeah, when Gorman needs a day off, you put Donovan at second. When Arenado needs a day off, you put Donovan at third. That's fine, but that doesn't make him an everyday guy. There's not going to be guys taking a day off every single day where Donovan is going to be playing in you know, from an everyday standpoint. Might be able to play 3-4 days a week on that alignment, but that's going to be the interesting thing to watch here moving forward, is how they navigate through this right now. Now, they may. It may come down to Ivan Herrera as the guy who kind of misses out on an opportunity to play a lot. But that's crazy, right? Like, you can make the argument that Herrera has been the best hitter for the Cardinals this season, just based off his power numbers. He's got the 3 home runs. That leads the team. He's come up with some big hits. He's got the 3rd highest OPS on the team behind Contreras and Donovan. So from an OPS standpoint, Wilson Contreras, Brendan Donovan, and Ivan Herrera have the 3 top OPSs on the roster. Interestingly enough, by the way, Michael Ciani's 4th on that list at 762, largely because, you know, this is where the small sample size thing comes in, largely because he's hit a triple. That's gonna help with that, and he's walked in there because his batting average is just 143. His OPS is 762. That's got to be one of the largest gaps of anybody in Major League Baseball this year, you know, OPS minus average sort of thing, because that is quite the difference between the two. But it's going to be interesting to watch how this thing plays out here over the next few days, and I'm not totally sure what the answer is at this point in time, because, again, like I said, there's no clear path to have Wilson Contreras, Ivan Herrera, and Brendan Donovan in the lineup every single day when you have Lars Newt Barr in left, and that's the addition to the team. Now, I guess it's a good problem to have, because there's an expectation of what Newt Barr is going to be from an offensive standpoint. But at the same time, he does have to be able to go out there and perform. Now, got a text message from the 256. Who do you think would be a better center fielder in a pinch, Newt Barr or Donovan? I think Newt Barr would be. Newt Barr's played out there. More than anything else, I think they're concerned about maybe injuries when it comes to Newt Barr, and they're trying to put him in a position where he's least likely to get injured. We can have the conversation and the argument about whether you're actually more apt for injuries when you play in center field. Some people say yes. A lot of people say no. There's a little bit more running involved when you're in center field, but are you really at that much more risk for injury because you play in center? It's an interesting conversation to be had. We'll take a break, have more in just a moment. Again, Derek Gould, he's going to join us at about 7:35. We'll throw this whole scenario at him as well. If you want to join the program, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Cardinals catcher Ivan Herrera, and you're listening to the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
See, the Ivan versus Yvonne thing, it rages on, because officially he is Yvonne Herrera. If you look at the pronunciation guide that the Cardinals give, he says Yvonne Herrera, but we just heard coming back in, he referred to himself as Ivan. Depending on who he's talking to, sometimes he says Ivan and sometimes he says Yvonne. And I hadn't heard that rejoinder until just now. And it has to be one of the two. But I think we've gone with Yvonne, right? That's what we call it. That is officially what we go with, Yvonne Herrera. But then we sound kind of silly, right, when we come back with a rejoiner like that. And what does he say? He says, hey, it's Ivan Herrera from the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know. Well, you can just go. Yeah, some guys will tell you, it doesn't matter. You can go with either when you're asking about names. I've told this story a million times. You probably know where I'm going with this. When I first met Nolan Arenado years and years and years ago when I was doing AAA baseball in the Rockies system, I went up to him and I said, is it Arenado or Arenado? And he said, it doesn't matter. You can go with either one. And finally I said, if I was asking your mom, what would she say? And he goes, Arenado. And then nobody with the Rockies ever asked that question of him, because he was always Arenado until he got to St. Louis. And then somebody asked the question, it's Arenado. So that's good. There's an answer there. We know it's Arenado. With this Herrera thing, Yvonne versus Ivan, he'll go with either one at any different moment. So, we'll get back into baseball with Derek Gould coming up in about 10 minutes. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on this roster crunch that the Cardinals currently have. Want to mention the Blues for just a moment, because yesterday the start of the game was so exciting, and you lament what could have been when you saw the way they started. Now, admittedly, they're playing a Chicago team that's just terrible. The Blackhawks are not good. So the Blackhawks are finishing out a bad season. It's a late season game after a very disappointing year. I don't know if they weren't expected to be good this year. They've got, obviously, some young players to be very excited about, but bad year. But what do the Blues come out? They come out and they blitzkrieg them. Four goals on the first four shots of the game. That's something that doesn't happen very often, and the Blues end up winning the game 5-2. So they took that 4-0 lead, and they just they kind of coasted from there. I had to laugh. I laughed a little bit because our guy, Mike Claiborne, at Claibs Online on Twitter, I loved what he tweeted out last night. He tweeted, four shots on four goals, and neither team is inclined to be aggressive. Probably go out for ice cream after the game if they can hold the plane. Say hello to an NHL that's a head-scratcher for those who knew a better product. And there's a lot of truth to what Claibs had to say in that tweet yesterday. But the bottom line is, at least for those first 5 minutes or so, you had a very exciting time for the Blues, and they got out to a 4-0 lead, and essentially the game was over after 5 minutes. Blues are still technically in playoff contention. They are sitting right now at 89 points. The team in front of them in the wild card race is the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas has 92 points, and the Blues have played one more game than Vegas. So 3 points behind. The Blues have 3 games left. Vegas 3 points ahead, and they've got 4 games to go. So the Golden Knights are in very good position as they try to hold on to this final playoff spot. So barring just a miraculous, miraculous, miraculous run here in the final 3 games from the Blues, and Vegas just completely just losing every game kind of out of nowhere, the Blues are going to be eliminated from playoff contention at some point. The Blues are the last team that's not in a playoff spot in the West that is still not eliminated from playoff contention. It's a little bit more wild in the Eastern Conference, where Washington is holding the final playoff spot with 85 points, and then you've got three more teams, Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Philadelphia, who have somewhere between 83 and 84 points. So a couple of those teams, Detroit and Pittsburgh, are just 1 point back, and Pittsburgh and Detroit are playing against each other tonight. So that's one of the biggest games this evening in the NHL. But in the West, it's all but figured out, with the Blues just almost kind of waiting to be eliminated. And then you watch that game last night and you see kind of the energy and the excitement that the Blues came out with in the first 4 or 5 minutes. And you would have loved to have seen that a lot more this year. This is a season, and over 82 games, you have bad losses. Every team has bad losses. Every team has losses that you go back and look at and said, man, how did we ever lose that game? How did we let that one get away? That happens to every team. But the Blues have so many of those this year, and they're so close to being a playoff team. Now, I guess the other side of that argument is, okay, what if they sneak in? What if they would have won one or two of those games that they lost? And what if they were in playoff position right now? What if they were just sitting just in front of Vegas and they were going to get the final playoff spot in the Western Conference? What does that really accomplish for this team? I'm a big believer that making the playoffs is always something that's important, always something that is an accomplishment. You know, something that sometimes Cardinals fans get after me a little bit on is, if a team makes the playoffs, I don't like saying that it was not a successful season. Now, was it as successful as it could have been? Were all goals met? It's not a black and white issue, right? Like, versus successful versus there's certain levels of success. And I'm always very quick to say that after a long season, whether it's the 82 games in hockey or basketball, or the 162 that you have in baseball, if you do enough in the regular season to be a playoff team, that's an accomplishment, and there's some level of success that's gone along with that. That doesn't mean that your season's over and whatever is done in the postseason is just gravy and there's not an expectation to win. That's not what I'm saying. So I'm a big believer that making the playoffs is an accomplishment, and it's something that you always should go for. Even if you're going to be the final team, the final wild card spot, I think there's value in being a playoff team. So I say all that to say this. I don't know how much value there would be this year in the Blues being a playoff team. I don't think they're going to be one, so it's a moot conversation here at the moment. But they're obviously not a top of the Western Conference team. We talk about playoff experience. Does this group need the playoff experience? Does that help propel them or project, you know, in future years? I don't know. It's been a very frustrating team this year. It's been a team that's never really developed an identity. The identity is almost not having an identity, that one day they look one way, the next day they look another. One week they look one way, then another week they look another. And it's just really been hard to really grasp who this team has been over the course of the year. All right, we'll jump back into Cardinals baseball. Derek Gould, lead Cardinals beat writer for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He joins us in just a moment as we try to figure out what the Cardinals are going to do with Nootbaar, Donovan, Herrera, Contreras, and the center field situation. How is it all going to come together? Maybe Derek's got a better idea of it than me. We'll find out in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Our Sports Open Line, happy for about another 25 minutes or so. We'll take you to 8 o'clock. St. Louis City Soccer Report comes your way this evening, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Jen and Nate will be in for that. Hopefully we'll talk to them for a few minutes coming up in our next segment. We are currently efforting Derek Gould. Hope to talk to him. Oh, we got him. We have Derek Gould. He is the lead baseball writer and on the Cardinals beat for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and he joins us right now via the Quiver River Electric guest line. Derek, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
You bet. Yeah, no, I wanted to reward your efforting. Is that right? So, yeah, no, happy to be here, Matt. Thank you very much.
Well, let's start with the tough question here, because Lars Nootbaar is active. Pedro Páez goes down. There's not really an easy avenue to have Contreras, Herrera, Donovan, Nootbaar, and whoever one, whichever the two center fielders in, what are you expecting the Cardinals to do here moving forward in a time where Herrera's been as good of an offensive player as they've had this year? Kind of the same thing with Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place for Lars Nootbaar to be the left fielder and Gorman or Donovan to be the DH. Now, that is contingent on, you know, Contreras being the catcher. And, yeah, that does put Herrera back at the backup spot. But the Cardinals are going to approach the backup catcher spot unlike they have in past years. And they're rethinking it, and I think we all have to do our part to kind of convey how they're rethinking it. And that is that they're willing to use the catcher. You know, for a long time, you go back 10, 12 years, often write about and even question why the Cardinals were willingly going with this was back when they had 25 players on the roster, why they would go with a 23-man roster with a long reliever they never wanted to use and a backup catcher they never intended to use. Well, they intend to use this backup catcher. That means starts against left-handed pitchers. That means him and Contreras in the lineup at the same time. There's a lot of spots for Herrera to find playing time, and all he's done is affirm that approach and maybe even earn more. We'll see how that plays out. I think the real kind of question that faces the Cardinals and that we'll all kind of watch is can they hold true to that commitment to defense? Is that what they're going to do? When they advertise in December that Tommy Edman would be the center fielder and Lars Nootbaar would be the left fielder and Jordan Walker would be the right fielder, the impetus of that was a commitment to defense, prioritizing defense. And now that Lars is back, if he's in left field and Victor Scott II is in center, then you can see that same commitment to defense. Eventually, Victor Scott II is going to have to hit. That's just the nature of the game. That's the nature of the majors. But while the Cardinals are searching offensively, and they are getting some real leverage in games, some real traction in games because of their defense, and they need it to be so good, I'm really eager to see how strong that commitment is.
They've really shown no willingness at this point this year to have Nootbaar in center field at all. Does that essentially mean that Scott is safe on this roster and they're not going to move him almost no matter what the offensive numbers are until an Edman or a Carlson are back ready?
I mean, that's kind of their approach right now, but I don't know how long they go struggling offensively with doing that, right? Like, you think back to – this is going back many years, 10 years. And, look, Colton Wong was doing nothing wrong with playing strong defense, but the team around him was struggling so much offensively that the manager was turning again and again to Mark Ellis at second base. And eventually, the front office said, well, we can't have Wong up here sitting on the bench when he could be playing, and he got demoted. That isn't where they want to go, but, Victor Scott does not play center field in a vacuum. He is their best defensive center fielder at the moment. They have to figure out where are they going to get their offense, how important is it for them to get their offense, and when does that scale shift? And I think that's what we're all kind of watching, is how strong is this commitment to defense first, when they go, all right, well, maybe the offense is struggling. Alec Burleson's kind of hitting a lot compared to other guys. Maybe Lars Nootbaar helps a lot. Maybe you get those four left-handed bats in the lineup. What does that look like? I think that's a real question for them going forward. And Victor Scott's playing time in center field no longer is just about, just exists in a vacuum of defense only, unless the Cardinals are just riveted to that commitment.
There's a lot of offensive struggles going on from some big names. It's also 2 weeks into the season, and it's really hard to say. It for me personally, I have a hard time knowing what's real and what's not real in the first 2 weeks. There's a lot of things across Major League Baseball that's happening right now that's not going to be happening 2 months from now. For you personally, as you're watching and you're evaluating these things, how do you kind of discern what is truly something to be worried about and what's something to say, in all likelihood, this is probably going to fix itself?
Well, I don't shake the Etch-A-Sketch when the regular season starts and ignore everything that happened in spring training. I don't put a whole lot of stock in spring training stats, but I don't think you can ignore some of what you saw there, whether it was a guy getting timing or a guy just not driving the ball or a guy slow to start or slow to get through spring training. I don't think you can easily dismiss that, just like you don't want to dismiss a guy who has an excellent spring training and, you know, you think, all right, well, he's carrying that into the regular season. I think you have to look at both sides of that spring training coin. And when you talk about some of the big names, obviously you're talking about Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, and they've had their struggles to open this season. Nolan Arenado is looking for his first home run in a long time. This goes back to last season, and it includes spring training. You know, Paul Goldschmidt is looking for the timing of his swing, and, you know, he's missed some balls, and he's certainly mishit some pitches. He's expanded the zone at times, and this is what we saw in spring training. So you can't entirely just say, all right, well, the odometer resets on opening day and we ignore all that came before, because you have to take into account, like, where were these guys coming in? I think, you know, they're both clearly trying to calibrate their swing while also making the most of the ballpark where they play home. And I think, you know, it could pay off in the long run for them. It clearly could, especially when you look at Nolan Arenado and what he's trying to achieve with driving the ball the other way, what he's trying to achieve with his hand speed, that could pay off huge. Like early struggles could be, you know, signs of a surge that he's able to sustain. But we'll see. I think it's the same thing with Jordan Walker. You know, some of the things that he's working on as a young hitter, the feeling is of coaches and scouts and folks around is that once he gets his swing and he gets that lift and he takes advantage of that ability to just naturally drive the ball hard. I mean, even the double play ball, that end of the game was hard. That's why it was a double play ball. But once he learns how to turn that and kind of catapult that into power and extra bases, it's going to stay that way. It's just not there yet for these guys.
And for a young guy like Walker, and that's why they sent him down last season. Not that they're going to do that this year. They could, but it's so tough for, no matter if you're a 10-year veteran or if you're in your second full season, it's so challenging to make those type of adjustments in season.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking with Bernie Miklas earlier today, and I think a really important thing to keep in mind with Jordan Walker is the idea of how young he is. And also, like, if you want to, I'm not saying that he's going to be Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is a tremendous hitter, but they both have height. They both have size. You know, I talked to Aaron Judge a year and a half ago or so about Jordan Walker. And one of the things he said is, like, at their height, at their size, with their strength, they don't have to go chasing exit velocity. It happens naturally for them. Well, Aaron Judge, you know, wasn't hitting for power at the same age that Jordan Walker is now. He also wasn't in the majors. He was in college, and he was a really good hitter, not yet a great hitter, and not yet a power hitter. And we kind of lose sight of that. And Jordan Walker is going through that same kind of learning curve for that size of a player, for that type of a swing, and for that power potential that Judge did. Except for Jordan Walker's doing it against the best players in all the world. Aaron Judge got to do it against college players, more of his peers. Jordan Walker is going up against pitchers who make millions to get him out. This is their life's goal, to get him out. So naturally, the adjustment is even going to be that much more difficult while also trying to do that job.
I will wrap you up with this. I believe you were at your son's baseball game tonight. How did that go?
Yeah, I was at the game, wrong side of the score for the Mighty Panthers, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed getting a chance to see it.
I know you don't get a lot of nights off, so thank you for taking some time for us. I'm glad you were able to enjoy a non-coverable baseball game, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I got to go out to a ballpark and not have to keep score and not have to file a story when the game was done.
Perfect. Derek, thanks for your time.
And I did get to cheer, yes. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks
awesome.
For having me.
You bet. That's Derek Gould joining us, lead Cardinals writer for the Post-Dispatch STL Today. Follow him on Twitter at DGould. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll get a preview of what's going to be going down on the St. Louis City Soccer Report. That's going to be coming up from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Just a few minutes left in the program, a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's been a fun last 2 hours. Our first hour was from Humphreys, where we heard from Coach Schertz, the new SLU men's basketball coach, for a full hour as he spoke with Bob Ramsey and Tom Ackerman. We've got the St. Louis City Soccer Report coming up in just a few moments, and to get a preview of that, Jen Cease, Nate Gatt are going to be hosting the program tonight. And Jen, I know you've been all over watching this team and being out at training as they go through things. They're coming off another tie this past weekend. They've got a big matchup coming up on Sunday against Austin. But this team's really having a hard time finding ways to win games right now.
Yeah, Coach Carnell talked about that. Hi, by the way. It was a rainy practice on Wednesday. So it was Wednesday this week. Normally it's Tuesday, but Wednesday with the Sunday start this week. And definitely he's happy with a lot of the things. Like, all the production is there. All the creation of chances are there. They're just not finishing, right? So it's just, can you get at final touch, that final push, that final thing to put it in the back of the net that seemed to come a little bit more easily to them last year. Joao Klaus talked about that as well, you know, knowing that, looking at his movement in tape afterwards, he's happy with the movement he's got. He just really hasn't paid off for him yet, but he hopes it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's, and we played some of that audio that you got for us yesterday during the program, and I thought it was really interesting from Klaus, because as I was listening to him talk, as much as he was talking to you and reporters, it felt like he was almost talking to himself to remind himself that just stay doing the right things and eventually the production's going to come. That lasts for a while, but at some point in time as an athlete, if you're doing all the right stuff and you're not seeing production, it becomes that much more challenging to continue to go down that path.
Yeah, absolutely. And Indiana Vasilev talked about it too. We'll have him on the Soccer Report and recorded version. And both he and Klaus and really all the players talk pretty candidly about that, you know, it's having the confidence and it's doing the repetitions and it's training like you play and better, actually training harder than you play in the games, and that it will pay off eventually. But certainly, I mean, we've heard it before. Maybe in other sports they have the same thing with certain things. But strikers, it's in, you know, their quote DNA to score. And when they don't, it does wear on them. It wears on their confidence a little bit. You can feel a little bit better when you're at least involved in goal production, right? You're an assist or you're involved in playmaking. But when the goals aren't falling also for the team, it's surely a hard thing for everybody.
We have this conversation around baseball all the time, trying to evaluate when something going wrong or when the team playing at a certain level becomes a red flag, because it's a long season. An MLS season is a really long season. And not that City has played poorly, but they have not won many games, as we've alluded to. At what point in time do the final results start to become something that's truly concerning? Or are we already at that point?
I don't think we're at that point. I mean, rest assured, there's nobody except the guys on the pitch that are dying for a win like we all are on Sunday. But, you know, Kansas City, as Sporting KC, is a classic case. They started out reverse of how City started out last year, and they wound up coming in at the right pace at the right time on the right trajectory into playoffs. So every point, of course, matters. But when it comes to overall performance, they've got a lot to build on. They're doing the right things. They dominated the game with FC Dallas. And FC Dallas, we'll hear from George Ganser today. He's going to talk a little bit about how FC Dallas was pretty clever with where they fouled the team and how they produced fouls to make sure they stopped City. And it was pretty, you know, it was very successful for them.
You and Nate have the St. Louis City Soccer Report that is coming up this evening in just a few minutes. It'll start after the 8 o'clock news and take you to 10 o'clock tonight. Jen, thanks for taking a few moments with us.
You got it.
All right, so we'll be back tomorrow for a Sports Open Line from 6 o'clock to 7:40, I think it is, 7:35, 7:40, somewhere in there. And then we'll step aside and we'll get set for Cardinals baseball. They are going to match up against the Diamondbacks tomorrow night. And we'll have coverage right after Sports Open Line. We'll talk to you then right here on KMOX.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.